Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 82 of K-Drama Convos. Today, we are talking about the K-Drama that you've been wanting me to watch for, like...
Since I watched
a year? When did it come out? Hold on. I'm terrible. I have the Asian Wiki pulled up. Hello. The first episode date was May 22. Oh, so it's been like almost exactly a year. Did you watch it when it came out? Do you remember? Any idea?
I watched it probably about 6 months.
Oh, okay.
After it came out.
Okay.
And then had to wait
4 or 5.
Till I could get you to watch
it. She'd been bugging me. So it just so happens. Oh, yeah. It's about tomorrow. The K-drama tomorrow. Such an annoying title.
Oh, great. Yeah. We were talking about recording tomorrow.
Or like, when we record tomorrow, yeah. Sunday? And I was like, what? Excuse me? No, it's a great title for the show. And
yes.
Confusing when you're talking about. But it just so happens, out of like all of the main cast, we knew 4 out of 5, kind of funny. Kim Hee Sun, who plays K-O-O? Is that, I want to know what, I need to
Ooh,
see,
it's like
I
a,
need to see this in Korean.
Isn't it like a ghoul? Like
I don't know, I need to
G
see
and
it,
a K
I need
together.
To see it in Korean. I don't
well,
know
you
what
should have looked it up in Korean then.
I have to Google stuff in Korean to find their names in Korean, and I can't actually read Korean, I can only sound it out. So, Kim Hee Sun, who plays Koo Run, she was in... Fears and Faith, or what's the other name for
it? The Great Doctor.
The Great Doctor with Lee Min Ho. Not a great show. I wouldn't recommend. Rowoon. What have we seen him in?
We saw him in Where Stars Land. We did. He was the friend that worked at the airport.
Oh, he was in that? I only remember the security couple. What else did we... Have we seen anything else? I'll pull it up right now.
I was
you love
so
Rowoon.
Impressed with his acting.
He was in School 27. Oh no, he's looking extra in that. No, wait, wow, that's the only thing we've seen him in?
Yes,
well, he's in SF9, so you know, there's that. Lee Soo Hyuk, who plays Park Joong Gil, he was in, I believe it was Lucky Romance, which not a good show. Well, okay, the male lead was great. He was fun. He was like a best friend character. He played like a tennis player or something. Don't quote me on that. It's been a while.
He did a fine job in that.
No. He was good. No, it's, and then you saw him as.
Oh, he was in the show I did not finish.
Hold on. I'll pull it up for you.
He's a vampire.
Yeah, he's wrong. Scholar Who Walks the Night.
Yes.
That one.
Yes.
Yeah, he was, apparently he played a vampire in that.
Yes.
Which. 10 out of 10 casting for
Absolutely.
That. And then Kim Hae Suk, who plays the, what do you call it? Jade Emperor. She was one of the moms in Hustle Playlist. So, yeah. The only person who, of like the main cast, we hadn't seen in anything was Yeon Ji Yeon, who plays Lim Rung Gu. I don't know. Sorry if I'm.
The other Reaper.
The other, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm pronouncing their names wrong, because I need in Korean to even figure out what they're trying to do here, some names. But yeah, total coincidence that we just, like, just so happened to see most of them in other shows. And that's actually not... Why did you start it? Was it because of Rowoon? You really like Rowoon, by the way. Also, we have bubble tea with us right now. Sorry if you
so
hear it.
So we're chewing and...
Chew away from the mic, okay?
Yes, okay. No, I didn't watch it particularly for Rowoon. I just, it looks like something that, I was looking to watch something by myself without you.
I was really offended.
And I had no idea that that was on your radar.
I was so offended.
I thought, okay, well, she might not be interested in this one. I'll go ahead and watch it.
Is that the one that I was like, you started this?
Yes, you got so mad. I'm like, sorry, I'm not going to stop now.
But you were far, you must have been at least halfway or I would have made you restart.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you'd seen this before. This was your second watch, but it had been at least 6 months, if not more, since you had seen it. And I had been bugged for those 6 months,
yes.
Saying that mostly
every
a
time
lot of
it was time to pick a new show to watch, I suggested it.
No, so most of it was on a big thing that you talk about was Rowoon's acting, which was
yes
phenomenal. Yes. But the other day, as we were preparing for stop Dude, you're like, you're so loud. I don't want an ASMR, like, ASMR us drinking boba. It's not as Nana. I hate the sound of chewing, so don't have that in the mic. You just made me literally lose my dream. Oh, when we were preparing for this episode, I looked up stuff about the author of the webtoon, which is what it's based off of.
Which I thought was interesting, because when I hear the word webtoon, I automatically think either fantasy or light and cheerful.
You're weird.
And that's not correct.
No, I don't know. There are probably some webtoons out there that are, like, dark.
Right.
Or very mature.
Well, probably because most of the webtoons that I've read...
Oh, well, yeah.
...were on the light end.
Yeah,
or
totally.
On the fantasy end.
Right, so you just had never watched something quite... Sorry. Read a webtoon that was quite like this. See, I was like,
right.
Oh, yeah, I can
I
see
hadn't.
Based off a webtoon.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Mm-hmm.
But I looked up at it. It was an interview with the... Oh, my gosh.
Sorry.
Just leave it. You're not going to be able to get it. Oh, my word. An interview with the author. And she said her... I guess you could almost call it inspiration for this series was... Oh, yeah. Trigger warning for this episode. Just leave it. For this episode, this show, if you haven't seen it or heard of everything... The whole premise is based around suicide, and we will be obviously mentioning that throughout
right.
this episodes, and also they involve a lot of different topics, like a assault case, there's murders in here,
it's
an eating disorder, so yeah, like,
there's a lot.
Trigger warning,
yeah.
There might be some people who, if you can't listen to this episode, that's fine,
mm-hmm.
then I'd say don't watch this show.
Oh,
because
definitely not, yeah.
It's a lot, it really is.
Mm-hmm. Or you could watch select episodes.
Yeah.
Depending on your situation.
Yeah, until, honestly... Depending on the episode, you might not actually miss two... yes, of course, it's better to watch all of them. But because they're semi-episodic, you probably could get away with skipping one. If you really... I mean, the ones at the very end give a lot of backstory. You couldn't skip those, but, you know, that kind of thing. Oh, but the author apparently watched someone who committed suicide, unfortunately... like, witnessed it happening, and that's when she came with the idea of, like, what if there was someone who could stop people who are wanting to do that? So, it's a very sad way to come up with this plot, but it makes sense that,
it does.
You know,
yeah.
wanting that to stop after, especially, I can't imagine how messed up you'd be just witnessing something like that.
Was she a child?
I didn't say. I think it was also, the interview might have even been an email. I don't even know if it was, like, an in-person thing.
Mm.
And it was translated, so I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think they gave a lot of detail that was just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was cool that it was based off of a webtoon and then became very successful on Netflix, especially in the... Yeah, I think it also...
that's one thing that you and I had talked about. Can you imagine you're an artist / author and you've created this webtoon and it became so popular or the story itself was appreciated so much.
They adapted it.
They made a full-on
I think that's so
live-action
cool.
drama.
I hope that they got paid a really good amount for that
sure.
to be adapted because... especially, I believe it aired as well. Yeah, it was on NBC, which is like the Korean network it was on, but it was also, I believe, for like international release exclusive to Netflix, I believe. So obviously, and I think it got up in the like top, you know, they have like different top 10 lists. I'm not sure which one it was in, but I think it was in one of them for a time. So it was very, very successful when it first came out. And I had heard of it. Just never got around watching it until a year later. So, here we are. I don't know. We're always late to shows anyway. So, let's start off. I think we're going to start off with characters. And, or do I have that wrong? Yes. Okay, sorry. Looking at my notes here. So, we're just going to go through and kind of talk about partly our first impressions of the characters. Because I think with some of them, it definitely changed over time. Didn't for you? No, it did for me. Okay, so Kurun.
Only slightly.
Kurun. Is it Goo? Gu-run? Koo sounds stupid.
But it's
Goo. I need to see it in Korean.
Yeah.
You talk about her while I try to find her names in Korean.
Well, I don't...
Well, first off, you hated her makeup.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't like her makeup at all. Mm-hmm. And her clothing was weird. But then when we talked about it, well, some of it was cool, some of it was weird. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, and if you looked at the other Reapers, or the other...
Oh, yeah.
The other people...
Mostly the people in charge of the different departments, the high-up
yes,
ones.
They all kind of dressed very differently.
Very eccentric?
Eccentric, yeah. So then that made more sense to me.
I'd say
she didn't grab me as a character that I loved right away because mm-hmm. she was kind of cold and standoffish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot about her character that you didn't know. A lot of this drama, except with Jung Woon, who Ro-woon plays, he was probably the only character that we actually knew the backstory of.
Right.
All the other Reapers, they very, very purposely kind of kept it a secret mm-hmm. from the viewer.
For quite a while.
Gosh, with Gu-run's, it was literally the entire show till like the very, very end.
And then once you understood her backstory...
She took some time to warm up for me.
Yeah, her character made more sense.
Mm-hmm. Partly why she was so passionate mm-hmm. about saving people, and also, you know, like I'm just calling. Can I call him Ro-woon? Do I have to call him by his character?
Just call him Ro-woon. It's fine.
Jung-woon. Jung-woon's character a lot of time was like at the very beginning was like, "Why are you so harsh on them?" Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, "I'm here for you. You got it." You're like, "No, you need to make a decision." It's right. Because she had experienced that personally. Mm-hmm. And it made her have a very different connection with the cases that they were working on. And, yeah, she was a very complicated character. That's one thing I think this show did well, was having... All the characters were multifaceted, is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that you learn very gradually, you know. And a lot of it you learned... just from their actions, but then you also learned it once you learned their backstory.
The contrast between her and Jung-woon
mm-hmm.
was very stark,
mm-hmm.
but I think that was very purposeful.
They Definitely.
Were both approaching the person with the idea in their head to prevent them from...
They did very different methods.
Yes, yes, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And she was approaching it, like you said, with much more knowledge. Mm-hmm. She had been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah, before the show started, obviously.
Whereas he was approaching them with emotion and feeling.
Right, which...
And it proved, later on, that sometimes his method worked and sometimes her method.
It totally depends on the person that they're trying to save here.
Yes.
And I think that was a cool thing to show that depending on the situation,
mm-hmm.
Certain, like, either she was better at it or he was better at it. You know, it was interesting to see that.
Yeah.
But, I think the one thing, like, with Gu-run, I did like her dyed hair. I thought that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Her eyeshadow, they explained later.
Right.
It wasn't, like, my favorite. I didn't think it looked bad, though. It was just, like, very, like, it was obviously very well done. It was just, like, the one color was, like, kind of
80s.
Was it 80s? I wouldn't know.
That's,
oh, is that?
Growing up in the 80s, that's what it just was like, oh, that's so 80s. That's part of the reason I didn't like it.
That makes more sense. Yeah. That makes more sense. I totally lost track of where I was going with that. But, yeah, sorry. It took me a little bit to warm up to mm-hmm. her. But I actually did really enjoy her character, and you could see just how passionate and sometimes just, like, desperate to save these mm-hmm. people that she really was.
Yeah, and she was willing to break the rules to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big thing they did. And so we'll move on to Choi Jung-woon, Ro-woon's character. Yes, I think having the contrast between him, Gu-run, and Rung-gu, the one with the black and blonde hair.
Just call him Mr. Lim.
It's easy. Mr. Lim. I can do that, yeah. Too. They call him,
they call him Mr. Lim.
So. Well, they don't call him that, but they call him Lim
yeah.
With a... can't think of the word right now. It's fine. But yes, Rowoon's character, I think one of the fascinating things they did with his character was the comedic part of his character, mm-hmm. if you can call it that. Mainly, a lot of it was him and Mr. Lim actually bouncing off of each other. Mm-hmm. And that's something we'll touch on more later, but how they pulled that off with a show that was such a heavy subject.
Right.
Was impressive, and a lot of what they did that with was Rowoon's character, right. Specifically. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it was interesting seeing the different ways he looked at stuff compared to the other two, and he just brought such a different perspective and personality, exactly. Compared, yeah. To them, especially because he showed up there in such a different way than, right. They did.
And Go-run noticed that. Mm. And there were some occasions where she was like, you go talk to them. You.
Yeah, she started.
She could see that.
And she started.
His method's going to work better.
For certain,
you know,
I think situations. It also took her time to trust him.
Yes, it. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of weight on your shoulders to, mm-hmm. have to try and save someone,
right.
You know.
Right.
But another thing, Rowoon's acting was one of the most impressive things of this show, mm-hmm. I think, at least. That I'm not saying all the other characters weren't. All of them were extremely well acted, but his in particular stood out because it was purposeful that it stood, yeah. out. A lot of the other characters are much more serious. Mm-hmm. Not just, it's partly in demeanor, and also just because of their, a lot of them that we met had very complicated backstories, very, yeah. sad, and with Rowoon, he just brought such an energy.
He also brought humanity, if you think about it. He was, whereas these other people are all grim reapers, mm-hmm. you know, they're from the afterlife, essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he brought this humanness to him,
yeah.
to the,
mm-hmm.
equation.
Yeah. And it was really interesting watching his character develop,
mm-hmm.
because, like, at first he thought how Gu-run did it was, like, crazy.
Right.
But I think in some ways he learned it a little bit of why she did it how she did.
Mm-hmm.
And also seeing him, like, I guess just, like, embrace the role that he was ended up with,
mm-hmm.
You know, and he got better at it, I feel like, as, yeah, he went. And, for him, he was able to empathize with them, yeah. the people that they worked with very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes if you have too much empathy, it doesn't work, you, right. know, and that's where he was able to balance out, mm-hmm. their trio very well.
Right.
But he was one of those people that was just, like, a joy to watch.
He was.
In emotional scenes, in funny scenes, just him.
He was so genuine.
Yes, and he was very expressive, mm-hmm. and, you know, with Gu-run's character, part of her character was that she was not expressive,
right.
which made sense. Same with Mr. Lim's character.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, very purposeful. But I think that made Rowoon just stand out so much more because he was the one who was super, mm-hmm. expressive. And he wore his heart on his sleeve 100%.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But,
yeah.
he was just so fun to watch. And that was one of the things you had said to me so many times. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to see Rowoon in this,
right.
you know. So, Mr. Lim's character, or Lim Rung-gu, they didn't call him by his name very often, he was funny. He was an interesting in-between.
Yeah.
He wasn't quite as serious as Gu-run, but he definitely was not like Jun-woo.
No.
He was an interesting in-between, like, because most of the time, he was a kind of person who was trying to follow the rules, not get in trouble, and was usually very serious, but every now and then he would crack.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it would push him over the edge. with some of the situations they had to handle, and he would get like really angry and stuff like that, which it was in one case especially, but more than one, actually. And seeing him, a lot of his development happened after we learned his backstory, and it was kind of crazy. I mean, you went from, with the episode specifically with his backstory, you went from this character who was, you know, would always make sarcastic remarks, joke with Rowoon, but was still very serious, very upright, very, very strong person, to, like, he almost looked defeated. He looked like a different person. Yeah. It was crazy. And his acting of that was very well done, that he, in that, I think it was two episodes, just, he looked like a different person just from his, not only his actions, but also his demeanor and stuff felt very different. But no, I think they handled his character very well. He acted it amazingly. Would love to see him in another drama now.
So how much of spoilers are we going to get
100%. Here? All spoilers.
All spoilers. Okay.
So the ending is like really huge spoilers, but you have to talk about it. Not the ending, but the backstory.
I just lost my train of thought. It was about Mr. Lim.
His backstory? With his mom?
Oh, yes. I liked how they bent the rules but didn't break them for him.
With what?
The rule was, if someone commits suicide, then they cannot meet their loved one.
That's not what it was.
Even in another reincarnation.
It's not that you couldn't meet them, because technically speaking, you could run into each other but never know it. It's that your ties were broken. Like, you're not ever going to be, like,
to
related.
Yes.
Or fate wouldn't bring you together anymore.
Right.
So they didn't I don't think they bent the rules.
Well, him talking to her on the beach.
Oh, that.
And with that realization that she was his mother.
Oh, that part,
that
yes.
was bending the rules.
That was breaking them, actually. But yes.
But yet, that was it.
Right.
There wouldn't be any
nope.
further ties together stuck to the rules.
Right.
So yeah. I liked the way they did that. They didn't give him a fairy tale happy ending.
Oh, gosh. No, that
he got to do what he had waited hundreds of years for.
Right.
But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I liked how they stuck with that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to go on about that later, but I guess we don't need to.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Then the next character who, he was great, was Park Joon-gil. He was the Grim Reaper. I guess they're all Grim Reapers. I called him the Grim Reaper.
He was the Grim Reaper that did the job of a Grim Reaper.
Well, yes. He was the head department of the, like, what did they call it?
He would escort souls.
The escort, yeah. He was the, yes. yeah, he was the head of that department. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to call him the Grim Reaper, because,
okay.
But just note that mentally now. That's how I'm going to refer to him.
That's his title.
yes. you should have heard when I made this joke. So, he was cast, first off, perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
He is through and through a Grim, your stereotypical Grim Reaper vampire, you know. Paler skin, tall.
Ethereal, fantastical, mythological character.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's not what I was going to say, but okay. But you're, like, he was very pale, very tall. He wore all black, except for a few scenes where he wore different. He wore, like, brown
dark
in
colors,
a scene.
Yeah.
It was fun. and I mentioned it was a specific scene where I was like,
I know
it was like, I was like, all he has to do is walk in a room, looks drop dead.
He wears all black, walks in a
room. That's
all
he needs.
That's all
he
needs.
And then he opens his mouth. Oh my God. So I forgot, because it's been a while since we've seen anything. This actor's voice, 10 out of 10. No, like 11 out of 10. You gotta admit, you don't love it too, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
We have
100%. We have this thing for
actors,
voices.
No, actors, if you look, it's usually deeper voices.
Deeper voices, definitely.
Like, this actor, what's his name?
Choi Jin-hyuk.
No. Lee Soo-hyuk, who plays the Grim Reaper. Yeah, Choi Jin-hyuk. Who's it from 1%? Hasuk-jin. Like, those are, yeah. So you can see the vibe we're going for here. But it was, oh my word. Literally, all he has to do is walk in a room and he is, like, so attractive, so great. And then he opens his mouth, like, it's ridiculous. So, love him. So, other than that, first off, I love the outfits they did with him. Mm-hmm. The other Reapers, like, Gu-run, I only liked, like, 50% of her outfits. Some, I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I think a lot of them, like, with her outfits and the other, like, head Grim Reapers, one thing I was wondering if they were doing it was kind of making them look not human.
Yeah, I think she was supposed to be, like, super high fashion with a twist.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. but, yeah, I think the styling was kind of trying to very purposely set them apart to make them look different because they aren't human anymore. But with Jungil's character, because they kept it simple. Mm-hmm. And the best was when he had the hanbok, like, over his shoulders. I think if there's a word for that, like, I think it's might have been specifically, like, an outer garment. There's probably a word for it. Oh, so good. You know, obviously magically stays on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Obviously. But his jackets and suits and
were perfectly tailored.
Oh, so good.
To fit him.
I love seeing him in color. I think they did, like, a dark brown at one point.
Did they do a dark red?
They did a dark red. Yeah. Perfect. But his character was someone who, he did not get as much screen time quite as the other ones, which made sense. Was interesting seeing the different perspective was fascinating. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this whole show is people saving people from committing suicide versus his perspective on it was that he thought it was stupid.
Right. If they've given up, they've given up.
Right. You know? And I thought that was a really interesting choice to have a perspective like that. Like, I've never...
And there are people out there.
There are,
that don't... there's no empathy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was something that, you know, I loved that they gradually... Him was almost like they didn't tell you till the very end.
Well, it wasn't, yeah.
Why he thought like that. And that was a fascinating
thing. That was fascinating. Why he was so against...
Was super interesting, And we'll get into that later. Yeah. But that was really interesting what they did with his character. But I liked they did a very good job of having that conflict with his character. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, these people who are trying desperately to save them. And then him is like, they don't deserve it.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I don't agree with what he's saying. But it was interesting I didn't expect them to have that in this plot.
Right.
Which is all about saving people. Mm-hmm. To have someone with an opposite opinion was very interesting. It was interesting. Also, how they do, like, their powers. I think that was very well done. They didn't, like, overdo it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're teleporting very well edited.
And disappears.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very well done.
Yeah.
And then the Jade Emperor. She was so funny. Her costumes, oh my word.
Yeah.
They were like,
I don't know if I liked them or not.
I kind of liked them. I wonder if they were based on traditional clothing or not. I have no idea. Or, like, traditional.
Well, they might have been based on traditional, like imagery.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. Totally might not be. But hers also came off at a slightly high fashion-esque to me.
Mm.
But she was really a very interesting character that you could have gone with the Jade Emperor as this, like, being who, like, talks in, how do you say it? Like, almost talks in, like, poetry or, like, in a way that's really hard to understand. Like, almost like you're very purposely setting them apart from all the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually, they didn't do that with her. And I'm glad because I'm like, I hate when they have lines in shows that are like a metaphor or how do you explain this?
How they don't talk like a normal person would
talk. Yeah, it's almost they talking talk
poetically.
Yeah, which yeah. in some shows they do it well. Mind you, translating is helping none of us here. But with her character, I was worried they were going to do that and I wasn't going to understand her. But they didn't do that at all. And I really liked that. I don't know, maybe. You just lost, made me lose my train of thought.
I just showed her a picture of the Jade Emperor. Well, one who is a male character.
Oh, yes.
That's one of the things that
who's always, well, who's,
always male.
Traditionally, yeah. Like, yeah. What's the word? Like, traditionally.
Represented.
Not represented, like.
Depicted?
Depicted as male, yes. Yes. But no, with her, she felt like. It was interesting seeing how she really cared for the Grim Reapers mm-hmm. and how every now and then she would slightly bend the rules from her, but there were specific things she just couldn't change. You know, she can't change how it works and stuff like mm-hmm. that. She was actually a really enjoyable character, and her as the, like, drink lady, great. Loved it. It was cool seeing her, like, really care for her, basically, her employees and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And, you know, obviously she is in some ways this, like, all-knowing type of, you know, mm-hmm. person, but she was a good balance of, like, all-knowing, kind of like a god, and then also still...
Almost like a mother figure.
Almost like a mother, very, you know, personable with her employees and stuff like that. She was fun. Also, just seeing this actress again. She's so fun. So, as of the episodes themselves, we cannot talk about every case because there's what? 11 or 12, something like that. Mm. And some majority of them are one episode. I think one or two were two episodes long, so it varied a little bit. But we're just going to talk about our favorites or just ones that stood out the most. We have others.
Well, we have two favorites, and then
two others.
Two others.
Well, there are more than just these two that we particularly liked, but we only have time to talk about so many.
We don't want this to be a 3-hour
podcast. No. Okay, you can start episode 4 to 5.
Episode 4 to 5. So it was the episode where there was the young musician and the girl who had been in a
car accident.
No. She had been a ballet dancer and she had an injury.
I legit forgot about
She was going to commit suicide.
Yeah, and then he saved her. Yes, right.
So then she kind of attached herself to him. Yeah, in some ways. Really cute. Mm-hmm. Really cute. I liked how they spent a good mm-hmm. amount of time developing the relationship between these two characters mm-hmm. so that it made much more sense why he just wanted to disappear after she had died in the car accident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think them taking a lot of time to show their backstory is what made you, the viewer, connect Absolutely. So much
yes.
with these characters. And this was also one that felt very... Like, it could happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how she died was just a total accident. And, you know, his life, he was just, I guess, unlucky, man. It was awful. I can't imagine. And, you know, and just seeing these two just totally regular people having to go through that, mm-hmm. you know. And I think you were really able to empathize with them because, you just saw... so much of their personalities and what their relationship was like and everything like that. And I think they showed it very well, and they showed like quite a bit of time in a very short amount of time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they did take two episodes for this one.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like their love story alone, you could probably make a short drama
out of it. Oh, absolutely. But they because were... it involved, not only involved the two of them, but also her family.
And his family as well.
What did they show of his family? His I don't recall.
He was like abandoned and then got adopted or something. Or his parents died, he got adopted, and then his adoptive family died. You know, he had a lot of backstory to him as well. But it was really impressive they were able to show the, like, key moments. Mm-hmm. And you were able to get almost the amount in some ways that you would get from, like, a shorter drama just in an episode or two.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was amazing mm-hmm. how they fit it all in there. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's part of the reason that these two episodes, I think, it's funny, right when they start, you're like, ooh, that's my favorite. right when it started. I think this was one that you remembered yeah. after watching it.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah.
you had really, really enjoyed.
Yeah. And honestly, episodes that move me emotionally are much more memorable.
Oh, well, yeah. No, I understand.
And this is one of them that did.
Mm-hmm. Did you cry the first time you watched it? Did you cry anything the first time? Wait, didn't... I think you did, didn't you?
I teared up for this one.
Did you cry at any the first time you watched it?
Episode 6, I bawled.
Oh, okay.
Like, tears running down my face.
Were you watching it really late at night?
Yeah, I watch everything really late
no,
at night.
No, I mean, like, really late. Like, no. 2 a.m. or something.
No,
okay,
no,
that's,
no.
Okay, that's when I'm the most emotional. Yeah, and just so happens, this is one I picked as probably my personal favorite, mm-hmm. was episode 6, just having that yeah. right next to each other. This yeah. was about the Korean War veteran. I believe it was the Korean War. I'm almost 100% sure. This was, oh my word, stuff involving elders, man. It is so emotional, but... This was another one that, this one was only a single episode, though, that they were able mm-hmm. to show his life's story
right.
very well. And some of it was almost like he was narrating it, and then mm-hmm. others was just showing us. And it was super interesting, you know, watching it. It was also very emotional watching mm-hmm. it because that story is what happened to so many real life
exactly.
people.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and having to deal with PTSD from it. And at the time, I don't think there was really much treatment, much was known about it. So he was kind of left on his own mm-hmm. and had to somehow work through that. And, you know, it's so emotional seeing that someone who fought for their country.
Exactly. It's completely forgotten.
Is completely forgotten. And
not taken care of.
Not taken care mm-hmm. of. And just is so done with that. That he's gonna, you know, I can't imagine taking your own life after all you've survived.
Right.
And been right. through. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was really cute seeing Rowoon's character kind of feel like a grandson mm-hmm. to him. And he, you know, they really connected. And it was just so cute, the connection they got. And it was also very cool seeing how they honored him.
That was what got me.
That,
was
yeah.
when he came out of the house after he had...
It was after he passed.
Died of natural
causes.
Natural causes,
yes.
And they all lined up to mm-hmm. honor him.
And it was also a big deal that the Jungil also showed
yeah.
up for that,
yeah.
you know. And it was really cool. And it was also, you know, such an emotional scene, them honoring him. But it was also really sad to think they had to honor him
after
he died.
Died. Yeah.
That he couldn't have that during his life,
right.
you know. And it's just so, yeah, it also felt very, so real, mm-hmm. you know.
Now, the one thing that they did do before he died was mm-hmm. They showed him the boy that he had saved.
Oh, yeah, that survived.
That had yelled at him and said, I wish you would let me die. Mm-hmm. He actually went on to have a you know, a happy
family
and a good
yeah,
life
that was really cool.
So that he was...
He didn't feel guilty.
He didn't feel like he didn't do anything.
Mm.
He didn't feel guilty mm-hmm. about what he did.
Yeah.
And I think that really helped him to have closure about
right.
that
mm-hmm.
situation.
Yeah. And that was just, yeah, that was probably episode that made me the most emotional mm-hmm. out of any episode.
I cried both times I watched it.
And it was just so well done.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was just... So interesting, so well done, very emotional. I think mm-hmm. we did a very good job of honoring veterans as well.
Yeah.
And those were our two probably, like, favorite episodes, or ones that just stood out the most. Yeah. I want to just mention the one about comfort women. Mm. We're not going to go into that, partly because there's so much history that I don't really know.
Right.
But that was another one that was very emotional mm-hmm. to watch. And, you know, I think they did a very good job of that episode. So the other two we want to mention were the backstory episodes. So 11 and 12 was Mr. Lim's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his mom's reincarnation. And I think, yeah, I agree with what you said, how he was able to have that moment.
Right.
But, you know, after that, her memories went, exactly. were erased, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he was able to have closure.
Exactly.
Basically. I mean, yeah. It took hundreds of mm-hmm. years, but he was able to have closure. And I think that, you know, meant so much to his character that he was able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, also they changed his haircut after
and didn't say anything about it. It's kind of funny.
It was funny. It was like when a girl goes through a breakup or like something, not a breakup, just like some drastic life change. Mm-hmm. That's what he did. It was funny. I didn't mind his dyed hair. It was a little like not my favorite cut. You really liked it after he cut his hair. Yeah, the actor. Yeah, and props the actor who had to like, and also to the. Gu-run. She had to dye her hair for this, mm-hmm, too. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah. But, yeah, I think they did his whole thing with his mom and how he handled that, seeing that side to his character was very interesting mm-hmm. and very, yeah. very different. You know, okay. And then the big episode 14, was Gu-run and Park Joon-gil's past life.
Right.
So I'm apparently an idiot.
We've been getting snippets like all the teeniest through the whole show,
tiniest
about
bit.
Her life and his life,
yeah, as well, or past lives.
Past life.
I think, was it in the Fairy and Devil episode that we mentioned something about them? Oh yeah, giving very small snippets of a storyline. A backstory, and how in some shows I find it very frustrating how they do it.
Right.
I'm like, just show me already. This mm-hmm. is annoying. But with this one, I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's episodic and it was more focusing on the cases and the people, that I didn't mind how they kept it to the third to last episode. Right.
I agree. Usually I hate it. Mm-hmm. And I was close to getting annoyed with it.
Then they revealed it.
But because they had a different story to focus on right. each episode, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, you know, that's kind of like
the main
backdrop story.
Right. Yeah.
And I can mm-hmm. wait until
yeah.
they
show
in
episode
it.
14, they show, thank goodness they showed us the entire thing
oh,
and didn't leave
I
out.
I like how they do that.
I do.
Actually,
yeah.
rather than showing a scene here and a scene there,
which
they dedicated
showed, they showed
an episode.
Tiny scenes here and there, but
yeah.
yeah.
They dedicated an episode to mm-hmm. showing it in full.
Yes, completely,
everything. So that we're like, you know, you could understand yeah. what happened.
Apparently, I was stupid and didn't realize until they very obviously. Okay, so the one scene where them in their past lives as kids introduced themselves to each other by name, I called him the Grim Reaper. I did not know what his name was. So in that scene, I didn't realize it was him. Mm-hmm. And then I think they showed him growing up. I'm like, it's him. I'm like, I'm so dumb. How did I not know? Like, I knew these two. Okay. I knew these two were connected. I thought she had killed. Well, she did, actually. I thought she had killed his lover in a past life, which unfortunately is what she did, but I thought she like killed someone else who was his lover in a past life, was my prediction, and I was dumb, and no, it was them too, and I just was stupid. So yeah, but the reveal was really interesting mm-hmm. and very complicated and intricate, had layers, and yeah, super interesting. And this was the point that you understood Joon-gil's character.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, it took till episode 14.
And you also understood Gu-run
yes.
even more.
Yes. I mean, her, you kind of already understood her,
But this fleshed that out, yes. I guess you could say. Yeah. And this has also changed June Gill's character quite a lot. It was,
and we talked about this when it happened. Well, when
this
we
is like in the final
scene. Can you imagine being him?
Yeah.
And suddenly, your whole past is revealed to you.
Like you didn't know.
You didn't know that this person next to you is the person that you loved in your past life.
Yeah, it's complicated.
And you devastated your world.
Right.
And
yeah, there's so much. I can't imagine.
Having to deal with that.
I know. And one thing in, like, the final scene, when he, June Gill, it kind of appears that he's helping them now with the whole, what did they call their team? The... risk management. RM team. RM. That's why I remember that. It appears that he's helping with it now, which if you hadn't seen how he had to, you know, his whole backstory would have been odd. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you change and help them now when you were so against it? It was his anger against it was because it happened in a past life, but he didn't know that, and also he actually was able to learn, I think, the more in-betweens of why she did it and that sort of thing as well. Like, you know, he kind of was able to look at it from a very different perspective than at the time.
The other thing I like about that episode in particular, you get to see, up until now, he's this very emotionless Grim Reaper. But that episode, you got to see him act, you know.
In the past life.
In the past life, you know, you saw love, you saw anger, you saw hatred, emotion. You saw sorrow, all in one episode from this one actor.
And it also really explained why June Gill's character was so cold, was because he, like, it was like there was a piece of him missing.
Yeah.
You know, that he couldn't remember and was out of place and he didn't know why. You know, and that whole thing is, I think, what made him so not emotional. And also what he basically did for a job was that you, in some ways, if you don't disconnect a little bit, I don't know how you could handle that, you know? But yeah, it was really cool to see them finally flesh that out. And I think that it did actually work to have that till the very end. It actually did work. So the overall of this show, the entire concept with, I don't know how to pronounce this word because I can't find it in Korean, Jumadong, which was, see, it's not heaven or hell. It's the in-between, whatever you call it, is so interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, this came from the webtoon, but they also, I think, portrayed it in a very cool way. I drooled at the flashbacks to them in, like, the Joseon era. It was really cool.
Yes. They had... Oh, and Koo Rung's hat.
The black with the sheer. I loved that. So good. And, you know, when they flash back to the Joseon era where it was, like, traditional buildings. But I think they had, like, lights or something that obviously were, like, not, wouldn't have been in real life. And then you have now where it's this modern building with modern tech. The
elevators.
You know, and they were talking about how they had to keep changing their stuff as, like, for magic, for example, or whatever you want to call it, their powers, they can't use in front of security cameras. That's a problem, which Justin Air wouldn't have been a problem. Just can't people see you, you know, that whole thing.
Or the one time where their computer system went haywire and they had to literally handwrite in all the people that were coming.
That was
and
so
then what a difficult thing that was.
Yeah, how they got used to
that. They got used to doing that,
And they made it work very well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've seen stuff or read about it, even if I haven't seen it, that does, like, use Grim Reapers or, like, that in-between life and, or not life and death, in-between before, like, heaven and hell stuff. Like, I think it's very interesting stories that do this, but I'd never seen one where they're employees, basically.
Well, Hotel de Luna kind of did that.
Okay, sure, they did. Okay, you're right. That is probably the closest.
That's the closest.
Yeah, but in this way where it's more of like a corporation, yeah. That sort of thing. It was mm-hmm. so interesting.
Yeah.
And one thing, obviously, they weren't able to do was explain how it works. Because I remember being like, okay, so if he does that mean this? We're like, I don't know. Like, they didn't. I think it was good that they didn't take the time to explain it. It would have been way too complicated. Mm-hmm. But they did show you, like, this is breaking the rules. You gradually did start to understand some of the things they could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of fun. We did get little glimpses into the other...
the other departments.
Other departments. That was very fun.
Like when someone, you know, is close to death and they have a... flashback.
Not what the editing team.
The editing team does that. It's great. It's great. Just the way they explained
why stuff happens,
why things happens, or how. Yes,
that why stuff happens, and also like how it happens from like someone like physically having to do it. So interesting. Yeah, very interesting. So this one thing we touched on earlier, but I want to go back to, was the balance between humor and seriousness in this type of plot.
You wouldn't think that a story, a show about such a heavy subject, you'd be able to add humor into it tastefully.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I think that was really the only way this show didn't wind up being extremely depressing, mm-hmm. was because they added that little bit of humor into it. And honestly, that is actually how a lot of people deal with death
and trauma.
Trauma and sorrow.
Everything like that, yeah.
Is you need joy to counterbalance
that. Definitely. And one thing they did very well is that when we're talking humor, we're not talking cracking one-liners and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They weren't like jokes. It was, for example, the banter between Mr. Lim and Rowoon's character, I lost his name. I don't remember what his name is. Like their banter and bickering between each other and that sort of thing. And it was very tastefully done. Mm-hmm. I could have seen that done and it be very, almost feel like offensive for them to bring that into a plot that was so serious and, you know, focusing on such a heavy subject for a lot of, you know, for not for a lot of people, for everybody. That is a very heavy subject. Mm-hmm. And they did it very impressively. They didn't overdo it. Like, if there's any more, it would have felt, I think, unbalanced. Mm-hmm. But that they more had the humor in the simple moments in between stuff is what worked very, very well and was very impressive. Mm-hmm. This show, another thing that I think they did very well was that they actually were able to tackle a wide variety of issues. Mm-hmm. And I think in some ways, they tackled better than others. Mm-hmm. There were one or two that was like odd choice of either what they were tackling or how they did it was a little odd, but I think overall nothing was terrible. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring that up. If You Wish Upon Me is a different Korean drama, and that one is about, it's not all cancer patients, terminally ill people and their final wish.
Right.
And so they're dealing with people with different backstories, different illnesses, that whole thing. And you can listen what we think about that show, but I'll just tell you right now that we did not, they started off pretty well, actually, tackling these different issues. And then lost it somewhere.
Lost it along the way,
This show did that very well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's something that is none of them are perfect, because trying to take such a big issue into one or two episodes is very difficult. Mm-hmm. But I think they were able to flesh them out enough that it didn't feel like you couldn't connect it all, or that you didn't, I don't know what word to use here, but I think they were impressive, which with that they actually had limited amount of time, but the time that they did have, they used very well.
They did.
I think they did, at least. And also having, I think they did a very good job of having the, it very episodic, mm-hmm. but the overarching plot of the Grim Reapers
connected the whole thing so good. Together.
Yeah. Yeah. Their balance between those two things was very impressive.
Yeah.
That they were, in some, that's what I call it, in some ways it was episodic, because there are some other shows that are way more episodic. Oh, yeah. Like, are almost, like,
formulaic.
I guess. When I think of episodic, that's true. A lot of them are like that.
Like, well, like,
what's that hospital one?
Not the hospital one.
Sorry.
The one where they solve the murders every episode.
Oh, like CSI.
CSI.
But that
formulaic.
That's
in other
that's
words,
different.
You find the very opening scene is when they find the body,
right?
And they do it exactly the same.
That's different, though.
That's formulaic.
Well, that's formulaic, but that's slightly different because that one I know I've never seen an episode, never want to, but I know that does have a very big overarching
yes.
plot with the relationship between the characters.
It does.
You know? There's other stuff. For example, Mushishi is probably the most episodic thing I've ever seen. You could jump in any episode,
yes.
and as long as you understand the idea of what Mushi are, you
mm-hmm.
understand.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it is. And there is a singular reoccurring character as the main character, and only one, I think only one other character you ever see more than once, mm-hmm. other than the main. So that is the most episodic, which this
right.
one, I think, was impressive with their balance between the two.
Yeah, because some episodes, you would get the main storyline, and then you might get a little snippets of backstory.
Right.
And some episodes, you wouldn't get any backstory.
Right. And, I mean, and all the episodes had the interaction between the trio
yes.
handling these cases.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, just having the development and the interaction between them
yeah.
was
yeah.
part of the overarching
right.
storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, yeah, that I think they did a very good balance between
mm-hmm.
the two. And the final thing was the intricacy of this plot. So you can 100% tell, I think partly because it was based off of a webtoon, I don't know if it's one-to-one, they probably adapted stuff,
mm-hmm.
that they had a very clear beginning and a very clear end,
mm-hmm.
because they knew what these characters' backstories was,
mm-hmm.
you know, they already knew it before they even started writing. Because some of the details they did, like, for example, Gurung having pink eyeshadow was this
mm-hmm.
whole scene from her backstory that we didn't see till somewhat later on, but she had it the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of my personal favorites was Mr. Lim picking his nose. I thought they just had it as, like, a kind of a funny,
weird
quirk
habit,
his character
yeah.
did. I honestly can't remember what they related it to.
It was the drugs that he did.
Oh, is that what it was before he died?
Before he died.
Yeah, it was really interesting that was, like, I've never seen a show where they had a character picking their nose part of their backstory. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and those weren't the only ones. They had more than that. And
mm-hmm.
it was so, you're like, that's why they
yeah.
do that. Like, it was
yeah.
really, really interesting
In
to
other
see.
Words, every thing that was shown was very purposeful
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
showing it.
And it was very impressive seeing how much they planned ahead
mm-hmm.
with everything like that. And I think that shows how good the writing was for this, especially. I think that was super interesting,
mm-hmm.
how they were able to incorporate so much without telling you. And then,
right.
you know, thinking it was just, oh, a fun character trait, but no, it meant so much
mm-hmm.
to that character.
Yeah.
Super impressive. I never would have guessed for half of them,
mm-hmm.
really. And there was definitely more than those two, but those are the easiest examples
mm-hmm.
I could come up with. But overall, we really enjoyed this show. I'm surprised I enjoyed a show with this serious topic.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that, you know, I don't think, you know, every single show should have this series of topic. That's not, like, and they can't, and they shouldn't, you know. But I think having shows every now and then that have you know, a lot of what they were talking about here was society, mm-hmm. just in a general sense, and also very sometimes specifically in South Korea's society,
right?
You know, and also history, you know. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting seeing a show that was very, this was able to take this serious of a topic and actually.
And was able to address societal issues without being preachy about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before. That they more mm-hmm. just showed the problem.
Right.
They didn't tell you, this is a problem, this is how you fix it. Yeah, it was yeah. just more, and I think that is true, that you can't, and most of these problems they showed, it is not a simple answer. It is very complicated, and mm-hmm. it would be very difficult to change, actually. So, yeah, it was a very impressive show, very well done. Acting, super, super good. Casting, mm-hmm. everything like that. And, you know, and it also shows that this is a show from 2022 with the quality and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So,
okay.
Oh, what?
Remember the last, our last episode, we said we are getting rid of the 5-star rating?
That wasn't last episode. That was a while ago at this point.
Anyway, we're supposed to go to a 10-star now.
Oh, right. We're recording these out of order.
Yeah, we are. So.
Out of 10. That's hard. Putting me in the spot. Would you go 8 or more?
I'd say 9.
I'd say between 8 and 9, definitely. Yeah. Right. Actually, maybe 9. I think I might give it a 9 because of the quality of the, you know, the cinematography, the plot mm-hmm. line, the, you know, all the writing, the character, and I think it's a solid 9,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though it wasn't something that was like, I feel like you could only watch one or two episodes a night. Like, it was heavy. Yeah. It was a lot, but they did it well. Mm-hmm. So we hope you guys enjoyed listening, and we will see you all next time.